We are continuing in the current series entitled An Extraordinary 4.5 Years, and this is part 10. And this will complete this series. It's been covering the article with the name of that particular series. In part 9, we were going through the section entitled Satan's Judgment Set. Satan's Judgment Set. And there's one paragraph toward the end of part 9 that we need to begin with, as it will help us to get right back into the context of what we were covering. And it will also help to stress much of the reason why God gave us that period of time of 4.5 years to experience in the first place. So we'll pick up in the paragraph that begins, God's church did not know the two periods of time. So that'll give you a little chance here to catch up where I am. This is under the section, Satan's Judgment Set. And the paragraph that begins with God's church did not know about two periods of time. God's church did not know about two periods of time concerning the day of the eternal that also were to be fulfilled before Christ's return. And again, I marvel at this. This is 2013 when this is going out in the post, and we still didn't know the second period of time, how long it was going to be. And anyway, this is what this is discussing. But it is discussing, in part here, the first period, as we've already gone through in the past part of this article. So God let us experience by design and purpose. This to me is awesome because we're the most important part of God's creation. What God has been doing with mankind, the creation of Elohim, the creation of the God family is the most important phase, the most important thing that God is creating. Everything else exists for that purpose anyway. Everything. The angelic realm, or the spirit realm, if you will. Something we don't comprehend, but there is a spirit realm. And God created that first, in which the angelic realm could exist. And then He created angels. And then began a process in time of creating things in a physical universe. And the angels were very instrumental in serving God in that capacity. We don't know fully what it all was about, how it all was accomplished, but He gave them great power to do various things, and they did over a long, long, long period of time. We don't know, perhaps billions, perhaps trillions of years, and our minds can't comprehend that kind of time. When you're younger, you can't comprehend 70. It's like it's never going to happen, but trust me, it comes. It's close to the door. And then you pass that door if you're so blessed. And so it's incredible how human beings, how we think about time, because we're very limited. And we deal with a very physical world around us, and time seems long. And we have no concept of what has gone before, the length of time. And so it's quite an awesome thing to understand that in God's great purpose and all the vastness of the universe, I can't help but think about the Hubble when it's going out there and they're focusing in on basically certain sections of the universe. And you think about, what about all the rest of the universe? All the rest of it that's out there. And it's mind-boggling. And they think they have been able to see to the edge of the universe, and then in time something else pops up that they didn't know was there. And perhaps some of it because of the length of time it takes the light to reach the earth. That's something we can't comprehend. When you talk about light years and how fast light travels in a year, or how far light can travel within a year, and that's how they measure distance then, because it's so vast, and you start looking at 13.5 billion years, I can't comprehend that. That some things could be, you know, appearing. That, well, they found some things that, you know, a certain distance of time, and you think about the ability of time that it took to get here, and some things that go back to the time of Christ that they're just now reaching Earth. You know, things that go back before that. Things that go back perhaps 14 billion. We don't know. It just keeps going and going and going. And again, we can't comprehend those things. And so we are a part of God's creation and what God has been doing over 6,000 years. 144,000 with whom God has been molding and fashioning throughout that period of time of 6,000 years, because God has a plan of 7,100 years of human life on the earth. No more. No more. After that amount of time is gone, there will be no more human beings anymore. People can't comprehend that. The mind has a hard time dealing with some of that. So 6,000 years of human existence, and we're almost at the doorstep of the next 1,000 years. Incredible. 1,100 years left. Because that's all that God's going to have in His family, all that are born throughout the next 1,000 years. Then that will be all that have the maximum potential of being in God's family, but we understand that a lot won't be because of the mind being corrupted in human life. And God can't work with it because there are those in time who have so corrupted their minds. So God has shown us a lot over the past many years about such things as that. And I find that exciting to comprehend, to understand, to get a fuller picture and a view of what God has been doing and why and what the purpose is. And it, the more we see, the more it glorifies the greatness of God Almighty. And it is awesome, beyond words. And the reality is, so much of it can't be comprehended anyway. God has to give us His Spirit just to be able to see some of these things, to grasp some of these things. Because without His Spirit, our minds, our carnal, human, physical minds can't get it, doesn't unable to get it. But anyway, going on. So God let us experience by design and purpose something that no one else ever has or never ever... I'll get this right. So God let us experience by design and purpose something that no one else ever before has. And it was conducted by most of God's people in spirit and in truth. In other words, the living of that 4.5 years has been unique to those of you who are still a part of the body of Christ. That's awesome. No one else has ever experienced anything like that through time. It's unique to us because of something that God is molding and fashioning within us. That's different from what God molded and fashioned in those during the period of Ephesus. All the rest of the periods of time, if you want to look at Pergamos, Smyrna, Thyatira, on and on it goes. Sardis, Laodicea, Philadelphia before that. Yeah. Different periods of time and different parts of God's family. All for a part of doing that very thing, of creating certain things that are going to exist within God's government, God's family, the kingdom of God, when it comes to this earth. And so people live this in spirit and in truth, of an absolute living faith. Awesome. So zeroed in on 2012 that we were allowed to see, to work toward, to live toward, and lived it right up to that day, as it were. Or that week, at least. This entire process of the full 4.5 years worked to produce an accelerated spiritual growth and maturing transformation never lived, never experienced before in God's church. And so I hope we're getting more of a vision and more of an excitement to understand that we're now toward the end of a process of how God has been creating Elohim. And if you go back through time and you start with Adam and Eve, who weren't a part of that process. But if you look at Cain and Abel, Abel was. He was the first. And the period of time that he lived, limited knowledge of various things, certain desires that they had about God's kingdom, about life that will continue on, but very limited in that respect. And so progressively through time, we went through all kinds of things that happened as far as the flood and then up to the time of Israel and then God raising up Moses to do what he did. And they still didn't have the things we have in the New Testament, the things about Christ and the life of Christ and the spiritual things that Jesus Christ began to teach and to explain. Awesome. And all during these periods, God working with people, molding and fashioning people for His kingdom. And then, at the end here, there has never been a time where God has been able, because of what He did in the previous 6,000 years, to do what's been done now. Because all this time, we are able to have the knowledge, the understanding of all that period of time, all the teaching of those things, and added truth as well, to propel us forward in a way, to allow for spiritual growth at a much faster rate than ever before. That is a marvel. Awesome to understand. And I don't know what's fully planned for the millennium, but it's going to be exciting to see how things progress in time. But that's going to be a little different. I don't want to get into that. That's a sermon. Anyway, I won't even get through this one. It might be part 11 if we don't keep going. This entire process of the full 4.5 years, again, worked to produce an accelerated spiritual growth, a maturing transformation never lived, never experienced before in God's church. Now skipping to the next paragraph, the next one, farther down. Although God is revealing so very much right now, that's 2013, you will not, none of you, be able to grasp it fully by one or even a few readings of this post. It's just like things that are written in this book. When God reveals certain things, I think of the first four Gospels, if you will, and the very life of Christ and the things that are written there, and let alone the things that were written afterwards by Paul and by Peter and by James and by John. And incredible. Just continuing to add to the church's ability to understand, to receive things of truth from God. And how long have you been in God's church? And how deeply embedded is this in your minds? Every Sabbath, God gives us something that we're able to see things in a clearer way. It may not even be more that's written, hence extraordinary 4.5 years. It's been written, but that doesn't mean we grasped it nor understood it. Just like things in the book of John, there are things that the church never understood at all in the book of John until this end period. 1 John, John 14, God never gave that to the church until the end time. You know, about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and what that means? Incredible. Anyway. So we're ever learning, and that's a humbling thing to realize, even if we, as we've gone through these sermons, all this time later, since 2013, we're still learning about what was written here, and we still don't have it. We still don't have it. We'll be able to continue to learn and grow, I think, of what we're getting ready to discuss right now. And it's very difficult to have a good grasp of this, to see exactly what is taking place and why God is doing it. But we will more and more as time goes on. We'll grow in that, in our ability to understand God's righteous judgment and how He's been judging things leading up to this very end of 6,000 years, that within the angelic realm and that with mankind that is alive at this particular period in time, and bringing everything to a close so that His government can be ushered in. So once you return again, even if in a couple of weeks from now, let alone a few years, amazing, you will be able to see more. The importance and magnitude of what God's church experienced and witnessed during the 1260 days of final witness is far beyond the basics of it that God revealed to us quite some time after we'd already entered into that final period. It was given to us that this witness of 3.5 years was a final one. A final one. That's what it's all about. It's about a final one. Everything is a final period of time, a final judgment upon mankind, a final judgment upon Satan, if you will, and the demonic world, in order to usher in order to bring everything to a close so that the kingdom of God can be ushered in on this earth. That's why it's being done. A final witness. You know, awesome to understand that, which we didn't understand when we were going through it. Didn't grasp the meaning of 2008. God's final witness. Now we see it a lot more for what it was than what we could grasp in that period of time. Awesome. It was given to us that this witness of 3.5 years was a final one upon which God would establish His final judgment upon mankind. It isn't that there hasn't been judgment through time. There has been. This is final at the end of 6,000 years because this ends man's rule of mankind. This ends man's self-rule. And look at that, what has gotten us. I marvel at how God's bringing these things to light today in the greatest nation that's ever existed, the most powerful nation that He prophesied would come at the end time. There was a part of the spinoff of Israel, the tribes of Israel, Manasseh. God made this nation. People didn't. God did. God gave it on a silver platter, just as much as when he took them into the promised land. He gave them where they went. He gave them power. He gave them ability over their enemies. And so God had a purpose for this country being established. And in the beginning, I think that some could see that in a greater way than they can obviously today, of God's hand at work, though they didn't grasp and comprehend it fully. And so at the end of an age, God said the most powerful nation that would ever exist, the wealthiest nation, in essence, that would ever have existed in 6,000 years. And yet we see what man has done. No government has ever worked. Every government has always fallen. Man is incapable of governing himself. Even with all this wealth and all this power and all this knowledge and all the science and everything that we have. And now God's manifesting that in a very powerful way. It stinks. It sucks. Human government sucks. Why? Because it's filled with jealousies, envying, fighting, bickering, division, all these things that are opposite of God's way. Only God's rule, only by God's Spirit, from Jesus Christ, when he comes to this earth with 144,000, only that government can succeed. Only that government, because the world then will be based upon what? God's law, God's way of life, not man's ideas of what laws should be, you know. So we ignore certain things of God. And people even try to use the Bible to say that, well, this gives us certain rights to do so and so, and it's by, you know, it's by what is said in here. Some of the things we've suffered in this nation have been because people have said, well, it's in here. We have a right to do it. Garbage. Twist and distort the Bible and what God says, you know. That's what mankind does. He twists and distorts things. Look at the news. Don't spend too much time there. Do people twist and distort things on all sides? Absolutely, because that's just human nature. Sick, sick, sick. I've had it way past this. way past that. And even with what we see today, every phase of the government, it can't succeed. And God's starting to reveal that. So that when people begin to be shaken and begin to be told and begin to have an ability to listen, that your government, no government, man's government can succeed. It's all failed. It's all based on selfishness. It's all based on divisiveness. Incredible. And it's coming to a close. And God's government is almost here. Awesome. And so we understood that this judgment would be executed in the fulfilling of the trumpets of Revelation. And so there's judgment, and then there's a time of executing that judgment. Now, I've marveled over the years how God has continued to reveal things about judgment and certain things that are stated about mankind and what mankind is going to suffer. And most of that that is described throughout the prophets is about this period of time. Because that's when the execution of God's judgment upon the earth for how man has been happens to be at this period of time. It wasn't executed 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came or when the flood was here. That wasn't the execution of God's judgment. It was for that period of time in a different manner. But the things that the prophets wrote about later was for another period of time. And that's where we're about to go through now. That's the next phase of what's taking place. And that execution of God's judgment upon the earth, upon mankind, is primarily in these trumpets of Revelation. That's how it's going to be executed. So the judgment has already been set. The next thing is the execution of it. And that's what we wait for. That's what's coming rapidly. And now we'll skip again, pick up the next paragraph where we left off in part 9. Finally, God is also revealing to us and the spirit realm. Awesome! Because as God reveals things, and if we grasp what we're getting ready to go through some scriptures here in a moment anyway, but this matter of progressive revelation, that there are things the angelic realm has not known until God reveals it. Mankind doesn't know it until God reveals it. And so much that God has been revealing, even over the past 6,000 years, is revealed to mankind first. First. Things that were given to Moses that the angelic realm didn't grasp, didn't know, were given to Moses. Then they could see, and then they could learn from what was being shown to mankind and why. And they learned from those things. Some did. There was a third that didn't, because they're the demonic world, Satan. So again, finally, God is revealing to us and the spirit realm how the 3.5 years of witness was also about establishing His final righteous judgment. And after this is said many a time, finally, sometimes there's a light. You know, have you ever experienced that? A certain light goes, final. Oh, now I see. Amazing. Final righteous judgment upon Satan and the demons by their actions, works, during that period. They were given final judgment that had already begun to be carried out. So it's again, it's not that some of those things haven't been stated before, but this was a final period of His last hurrah, if you will. The only thing He has left, the only thing the demonic world has left, is what happens when war breaks out, when plagues and different things break out in this earth at the end here. That's their last hurrah. And they want to see destruction, and they're a part of it. And they're going to move and motivate human minds. They already are moving them. See, what is planned is already planned, and they're a part of it. And countries and nations that they stir up, they're already working with those individuals. That's already set. As much as when the apostasy came, there was an individual being worked with in God's church who would bring about the apostasy. And the exact same thing is happening in the world now. Those who are going to go ahead and push a button are already being worked with by that world. Their minds and their desires are being magnified by those spirit beings and other things that they are able to broadcast into the human mind. That is, again, difficult for us sometimes to grasp, but they have that power. So again, they were given final judgment that has already begun to be carried out, starting on the first day of the eternal. Judgment that's already begun to be carried out. They're starting to experience it. They have no real power over God's church, over those who are faithful and loyal and focused and want this way of life. And others who aren't quite there, hopefully they can be shaken and awakened and get out of their stupor. But there are others who are still moving ahead, charging ahead, and they will not be swayed, especially those who are part of a ceiling. God's church is moving forward. If that's all that's left, that's all that's left. But I know there's going to be more because there's a purpose of those who live on into a new age who are part of the church. You have to fight for this. You have to want it. There's never been a time like this kind of cry going out to God's church. I have never cried out like I've been crying out for the last many weeks, months since the feast. Never, never experienced that. And yet I see it week after week after week that God is crying out to us of those who are dragging behind, of those who are letting up, of those who are becoming lethargic and lukewarm. Of all times, this is a time to fight. Of all times, this is a time to throw yourself into this way of life, to cry out to God for help to obey. And when sin is at the door, to repent quickly. And to move forward and put it behind you and forget it just as God forgets it. It's past. Move forward. Clear your mind. Be cleared of it. But move forward and obey God. Live this way of life. Fight for it. Because not everybody is and not everybody will to the end. That I know. Awesome to understand that. Anyway. Their power to cause or persuade any meaningful abomination within God's church has been made impotent. They can no longer, and they have been learning that. Matter of fact, they're having it driven home to them today, even more so, even though it's been written, because there are things they don't grasp until things are explained in greater detail. They have an ability to perceive to a limited degree, that which God gives in the church. speaking of a demonic world and Satan himself. Their minds are distorted. Their minds are unsound. It's hard for them to grasp that which is sound. And yet there are certain statements made sometimes that they can grasp it when they are told various things. Going on, the next phase of the judgment to be carried out against them in their confinement, or is their confinement of 1,000 years and complete removal from all God's created life once Christ returns. What a beautiful thing to realize that those who live into a new age, once Jesus Christ is here and establish the kingdom of God, God's government on the earth over mankind, now rule by God's government, not man's. That's where I think of some of the things we have gone through in our lives. And I think of those who wanted a king. Oh, give us a king. We don't want you to rule. Samuel, we don't want you to rule over us anymore. We want a king like all the other nations have a king. I'd like to line them all up in a line in the resurrection and give a swift kick. You fool, you fool, you fool, you fool. We've suffered because of what you did. Anyway, and God warned them what would happen. Your children are going to go off and die in war. The king's going to take your children, and they're going to take them, and they're going to be wars. They're going to fight, and they're going to want money, and they're going to want more money, and they're going to want more and more and more until you get up to $1 trillion debt. Or many trillions of debt, you know, and a budget each year that has to run off that. Anyway, incredible what we've had to live through because of the stupid thing that was done way back then. Because, oh, we want a king like all the other nations around us. Oh, anyway. Human nature. And if we'd been there, we'd have done exactly the same thing. Human nature is just human nature. So again, the next thing they have before them is not to have influence on this earth for 1,000 years. To realize that people aren't going to have bombardment of Satan's way, mind. You know, that's why people don't grasp sometimes that there can be certain things out here that happen in the world around us that sometimes we see the end result of in news where somebody's mind is weaker because of certain things, sometimes because of medication. Those things happen. I think of the guy in Vegas and what happened there, and now they're finding out what was in his system. And sometimes people can't deal with those things, and sometimes then people can. But we live in a tough age right now. And sometimes then when a person becomes distraught about various things and has various ideas about causing harm to others or whatever, those thoughts, and even if it isn't because of drugs, just because a person thinks that way, they can be magnified. It's like turning up the volume on a radio. You know, Mr. Armstrong explained how they broadcast through the air to the mind. They're able to broadcast ideas and thoughts. And if you're receptive to certain bad thoughts and thinking, like anger, you get angry at something, and then all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you don't have very good control if they're around, because they can broadcast greater anger into your mind to stir up what's already there and magnify it, like turning up the dial. So the sound is greater. And then you can't control it because of selfish human nature. And it's hard for people to back away from that then. So jealousy, I've seen these things happen over and over, even in God's church, because people get caught up in something of jealousy towards someone else, about something else, and then those beings can broadcast that spirit of jealousy. It's a spirit. And people can become receptive to it, and then it becomes more unsound and more insane. And how do you deal with that? It's very hard. Very hard. So that's a good lesson for us, too, to always be on guard, to realize you have to be on guard to attitudes and ways of thinking, because those beings out there would love to broadcast toward you and cause you to become more upset about something or have some wrong emotion magnified. They'd love that. They love that around God's church. But they do it all the time in the world. They're doing it all the time in the world. That's where they get their kicks. They really do. They're perverted. They're distorted. They like to see people suffer. They hate mankind. They hate mankind. Those beings do. They loathe the creation of mankind because of what God said His purpose is for them, to become greater than what they were. That's why they rebelled against God in the first place and became demons. They followed Satan and his ideas, Lucifer. Incredible. I don't know if I'll get through this. that I want to start the next series. We're going to rush forward. Lost my place again. Okay. I've got to start again in the paragraph. The next phase, or halfway through it, of the judgment to be carried out against them then is their confinement for 1,000 years. Yes, and complete removal from all of God's creation or created life once Christ returns. Judgment was foretold and determined long ago, but it was righteously established during that 1,260 years of final witness. God inspired Daniel to record that Satan and his abominable armies would continue to uphold their own strong idols in spiritual wars even until the consummation, the completion, or the fulfillment, the conclusion. And that determined, in other words, decreed, its judgment established, shall be poured out upon the desolator, upon Satan. Awesome. That's for the very end. That's what's taken place. Incredible. God has now only, at the time of this original writing in May and June of 2013, been revealing all that is written in Daniel concerning these greater matters of judgment that are about Satan and the demons. Little did I know of the far greater magnitude of what God inspired to be written in a recent post. So this is the post before this. Timing of Our Commission was the title of it back on May 13th of 2013. Here's that paragraph. Another purpose for God revealing things to us as He does is because of what He is working out in order to bring Satan and the demons to a time of great judgment upon them concerning that 1260 days and because of the spiritual wars they are part of that are part of this process that include strategies and timing that are critical in great wars. Spirit world has been at battle for a long, long time. It's spoken of in Daniel. It's spoken of in Scripture about how they're, and I don't comprehend what these things are and how they take place, but God allows it, just as He's allowed human beings to go through some of the things they have, battles and wars through time. And in the spirit realm, there have been battles. You know, Michael and Gabriel talks about, you know, some of the things involved there and how that they were held back for a period of time and couldn't come on the scene. What was it, 30 days? There was a period of time, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it wasn't a specific time like that, but there was a period of time that they weren't able to be where they intended to be because of this warfare. I don't comprehend that, but it takes place. Going on. Anyway, it's quite incredible to know and understand that as God is revealing things concerning His plan and how He is revealing the meaning of prophetic events, that He's revealing all this first and foremost to His church. And because that is how God reveals such things, that the angelic realm seeks to hear what God gives. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Read these verses. There's a lot said here. But oftentimes we just read through and don't really grasp what is being said, what is actually being told to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. You know, they were inspired to write various things or to speak various things, to give various things through time. And they didn't grasp fully what was being given there. And yet again, they had a desire to see a fulfillment of various things that were told to them. Anyway, going on. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? And so there are things that are written about through time that they didn't fully grasp nor comprehend. But there are times, I think of some of the Psalms, some of the things that David wrote, was inspired to write. And of those things that people look forward to. It's like in Hebrews when it talks about some of the things there that people have looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Incredible. Whatever knowledge, whatever understanding they were given, they look for something better than what they have on this earth. They look for something that God has promised. And so much of the story through time has been that way. So searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. And so some will say, well, see, He existed back then. He existed way back then because it's the Spirit of Christ. No. There's a story here that's being told. It is the Spirit that God first gave to Jesus Christ. No angelic being ever had the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was given of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit that God has intended and given revelation to mankind, people have already received in times past. Abel received it. But it's referred to as the Spirit of Christ because it's the Spirit that must come through him and through his purpose and his existence. And so though the first 4,000 years, Jesus Christ had not yet fulfilled the Passover, they had faith in that. They had faith in the things that God said about forgiveness of sin. They had faith in understanding things that God said about a Messiah, and on it goes, though they couldn't piece it all together and didn't grasp nor understand it. They believed what God said. So searching what manner of time, that has never changed. We want to know when. We want to know when. How long? When is this going to take place? That's why I love what God gave to Daniel. It's because of that that we have a better understanding of certain things as well. He said, shut up the book, Daniel. It's not for you. It's for later. Just go your way. Go do what you're supposed to do. You know, but this is not for you. It's not going to be given to you. Though, isn't that the natural desire? Something is there and you want to understand it? I understand that. Sometimes we think that something that's written, we all understand it all. I marvel sometimes how some things are written and all of a sudden God gives understanding of what it's about, what it means, how it all fits together. Most of this, frankly. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. In other words, God's Holy Spirit that God intends for all mankind to be moved by in time, to be able to be transformed by in time, if they can receive it. When it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. There are things like in Isaiah that talked about one who was going to suffer down... We read it generally right during Passover, on Passover night, of what was written in Isaiah about what he was going to fulfill. His body so ripped apart in the beating he took, the people didn't recognize him. No. Incredible what's written back there about what he was going to have to suffer and then die. But they didn't fully understand those things. And who understands it today in the world? You know, incredible. So when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister. Who's us? Well, anyone that has read this since it was written from Peter, long, long ago, almost 2,000 years ago, God's church. And so those individuals, those prophets, different ones through time, who wanted to know what these things meant, it wasn't for them, but they believed certain things, they looked forward to certain things, they looked to God, and yet it wasn't for them at their time. It said they were ministering to us. That's why it's progressive revelation. It's in this book so that we can benefit by it. And as time has gone on and the more that's written, the more we have benefited. All that the apostles did, the early apostles and Paul did, that was for us. It's benefited us mightily and for all the church that followed, obviously, starting with them and on. But they haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet either. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported. The word it means revealed, preached unto you by or through those who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it is. It's about the Holy Spirit. There's a time that God will give revelation by the Holy Spirit, and there's a time that He wasn't. They were able to write certain things by that same Holy Spirit, but they didn't know it. They didn't grasp it. It wasn't for their time, because what was being recorded and written was for later on. They were ministering to those who would be brought into a process of being transformed later on. They weren't given as much. Anyway. Those who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, because it's from God. God, it's God Almighty Spirit, His Holy Spirit, His mind, the Word, the Logos of God, the truth of God that's revealed to us, that gives us the ability to see and understand things that we can't see and understand until God works with our minds. Incredible. So people try to understand what this book is, and there are all kinds of ideas. There's a portion in it here that those of Judaism believe that they understand and grasp, and God is their God. And they don't believe in Jesus Christ because they don't understand the rest of it. They don't understand Passover. They don't understand that Jesus Christ fulfilled something that they were to observe and did observe for so long, in part, you know, because of the lamb that was killed on Passover. Amazing. And then others who have come along through time who believe that they grasp the last part of it, and they look at the first part as being that old harsh God. And now we have Jesus. Just love Jesus. And he came to show us a better way, a gentler way, a kinder way. Basically, without just coming out and saying it, God is harsh and hard, you know. But that's kind of what's preached in the world, you know. Just love Jesus. He's in your heart. Then give me a break. And they don't understand. That has no meaning. They're fluffy words that have no basis. They have no depth. They have no purpose, no meaning. And people believe these things, and yet all of them disagreeing with each other because they don't understand. They can't help it. And they don't understand God's church has been there all along, but they don't know where it is. They don't understand it because they haven't been drawn to it. God has to do the calling. Incredible to understand these things and the freedom that gives. And it doesn't raise people up in being haughty and proud and we're better than somebody else, because we're not. We know who we are. We know we've got huge problems. And we know they're to be addressed, to be repented of every day of our life. Incredible. Yes, I lost my place again. Okay, I lost it flat, lost it that time. A time to finish all. I was in that section there. Did I get down to the paragraph, God develops a picture? Nope, I don't think so. I did? I started there?
Just before that?
6,370. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much. I'll just go that paragraph. A time to finish all, okay? Did I even finish the verse we were in? We were in 1 Peter, weren't we? No wonder. I didn't even finish that. Man, get off on a tangent there. Unto whom it was revealed, I'm still in 1 Peter, chapter 10, verse 12. That not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported. In other words, revealed, preached unto you by or through those who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit. Because the truth can't be seen nor preached or given clarity without God's Holy Spirit. It requires God's Holy Spirit. And it requires God's Holy Spirit to receive it, to see it, to understand it. It's not by human ability. It's not by how many scriptures we know, or how much of the Bible, or if we memorize the whole thing, or how great we are with Strong's Concordance, because there are people in the past who thought they were really well-versed in things that didn't get it. You know? Incredible. God always has to be in the picture. His Holy Spirit always has to be in the picture. That's why it's so dangerous to cut oneself off from the flow of God's Spirit through sin. It's got to be repented of. So those who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's the point. Why? Because they don't know it until God gives it, especially in the last 2,000 years, to His church. And then all of a sudden, when God reveals something and manifests something, then they know what God has said. Because God doesn't tell them those things. God tells the church what His purpose is, what He's working out here. They witness those things. They watch those things. They observe those things. But they can't see nor understand. Not even the two-thirds that followed God and been faithful to God all this time, you know, that have become more deeply grounded in faithfulness, even as angels. But the demons, those who followed Satan, they hear certain things and they have seen enough to know that what God says, God is going to do it. But they still try to fight against it. They still try to change it. They still try to thwart it. Incredible. Disturbed minds. Tried to kill Christ. You think, this isn't going to succeed. How many times have you tried to do it? But they still relished in the fact that so many babies have been killed, you know, 2 years old, you know, up to 2 years old. You know, when Herod and all that he did, he tried to go out there and find out where he was after his birth, tried to have him killed, you know, after he did what he did. Incredible stories out there of what he did then. He tried to kill every baby, every boy that was born in a certain range. And they still enjoy such perversion. But they weren't able to get a hold of Christ. Amazing. A time to finish all. All that we have covered about Satan's time for judgment in Daniel adds even greater strength, meaning, and purpose to the very unique timing God gave his church that identifies an end to Satan's power upon the church. It is this timing that started a count from the opening of the first seal when the apostasy occurred in December the 17th, 1994, to Pentecost of May the 27th, 2012. And the count of that, the end time prophetic periods of 1260 days, five of those in there, plus 70 days, is profound, incredible. This was a time of span that identified Satan, even more so, this count. Different from the other count, because there are five counts of 1260 days. Incredible, that led us up to that period of time. And here's a separate count that is the exact same number. How can you do that? How can such a thing be accomplished that we have lived through and experienced? Awesome! Mathematically, the statistics on that, what is the word for that I'm looking for? Anyway, nearly impossible. Probability, I'm still looking for another one. But it just doesn't seem to be coming. Anyway, that was a time span that identified Satan, 13 being a number for rebellion and apostasy. Isn't that amazing? Even in your dictionaries out here, especially old ones or whatever, and you look at certain meanings of various things, and a number 13, how many hotels you go up and you notice, 13's missing. Because people are superstitious. 13. It's always been associated with such things, even with Satan, you know. Even with little weird things. And anyway, so next time you're in a hotel, just see if they have a 13th floor. Because I don't think there's anyone that has a 13th floor. There's one there, but they're not counting it. They don't just leave it vacant. They skip to 14. Crazy. Nuts. So 13. And it's not... I thought when I was going through some of this, when I was looking at some of this stuff and thought, what an amazing thing. I didn't even realize it was associated with the word apostasy. When you look up the word, it's actually associated with apostasy, rebellion and apostasy. Of all beings, what number could better fit what Lucifer did? You know, the first son of sin. The first, if you will, son of perdition. Incredible. So again here, a time span that identified Satan and his influence of power exerted upon God's church until God brought him to the time of the execution of his judgment. We had earlier believed that this would occur when Christ returned and executed the first phase of judgment of the 1,000 years confinement. But that's 6,370 days, 7 times 70 times 13. Awesome! Every one of them having great meaning was about God's complete, 7 being a number for completeness, God's complete plan to bring Satan to the time of his final judgment with the execution of it to quickly follow. So incredible. Still 70 having to do with certain things about Christ's return, 7 being a matter of that which is complete, but 13 zeroing in on a specific time period because of Satan. In the same number. Incredible. Anyway, I marvel at these things. To me, they're awesome, astounding. God develops a picture that overlaps a timing in the book of Daniel. He began with the final 1,335 days that would finish his work in essence here, determining, choosing of all those that would be in the creation of the first fruits of Elohim by Pentecost of 2012. The next great work that was to be completed. Now, some of this was addressed differently here because this was in the choosing, and so that was added in the article there because we learned later on then it's a matter that God is a matter of his choosing, even though it's about the sealing. The next great work that would be completed would be in the 1290 days that established Satan's final judgment by Pentecost of 2012. That judgment, which will bring Satan's rule to an end. Now, this is inspiring to me. It's exciting to me. I see all these things. I am moved by them. They just add to understanding and knowledge we already have of all the truths that God has given. And to know that we have a certain focus even now, and we continue to do as we are doing. Next series. And this is not for the world. If you tried to sit down with somebody out there and tell them, look at these numbers. Look at these numbers. Look how impossible, mathematically impossible this would be in essence, the probability of it. You know, how far-fetched it is. And anyway, they look like you, like you are nuttier than a fruitcake. Absolutely, you have lost your mind. Well, they think that anyway. So, going on. To bring everything to a conclusion so that all could be finished in order for Christ to come, mankind also had to have final judgment established. That too was completed by Pentecost 2012. God's final witness, the establishment of God's final judgment. Witness testimony, that's what the word means. It's about like in a court. It's about witness. It's about testimony. And it was established then, so it's final. Especially if we understand what we've gone through. To have final judgment established. That too was completed by Pentecost 2012, after the 1260 days of final witness. As we have already covered, Daniel 9:27 refers to this awesomely important date of Pentecost 2012 in terms of Satan's final judgment being established. After that judgment was set, it would be followed by God's finishing all things pertaining to Satan's removal and confinement at Christ's return. See, there's some things that have to be done. It's there. He no longer has any power whatsoever over God's church. I hope we understand why. First of all, because of those who are already sealed, and because of those whom God has set aside to have the potential then to become sealed. Perhaps by a specific number. I don't know. God hasn't revealed that part. And because of that, there's that which is going to be accomplished. It's absolute. Now, he has power to influence others who have opportunity to live into a new age. And that's what God is crying out about. That Jesus Christ is crying out about. That we listen, that we hear, that we be sobered, that we be moved, that we be motivated to a closer relationship with God and His church. And His church. And His church. Because there are those who are backing away from that. That is harmful to you. That is poisonous to you. It truly is. We need each other in God's family. We might think that we don't. But we do. It's all part of a process of our strength. Going on. This is described in the verse as even until the consummation. In Hebrews, meaning to bring to a full end, or in Hebrew, to bring to a full end, to complete and conclude, to finish. We're in the finishing part of the stage here. Everything is being concluded now. Everything is being finished. Everything is being worked with to be able to be wrapped up. Nations and individuals are being worked with who are going to do what they're going to do, just as much as the man of sin did what he did. That didn't happen all of a sudden. That took a few years to get to that point. Planning and thought and discussion. They didn't just decide all of a sudden that this is what the church was going to do. There were those plotting and planning already. It just happened a little sooner than what they planned for it to come out. And so it is in this world. When it's God's time, people will do what they're going to do because it's in their hearts and in their minds. And some of it by a spirit world out there that has stirred up certain thoughts in their being already. I can't wait till the next series. This is about the time that judgment is to be administered. This is also the reference given in Daniel 12, verse 11, when the abomination that is making desolate is finished, is completed. This is after judgment has been set, established by God, once the 1290 days are concluded. It is after that all will be finished, with God's judgment to be executed in order to finish it. God began the first phase of the execution of his judgment against Satan during the first day of the Lord, from Pentecost 2012 to Pentecost of 2013. What happened during that time? Although God's church had lived by faith, in truth, and in spirit, Christ did not return on Pentecost 2012. In addition, I had to then go before the government for my trial in court for what was termed as purposely evading the payment of taxes, which quickly ended in a conviction with a guarantee of a prison sentence. Satan relished in the pickings he thought were before him. Now was his chance, as he viewed it, to again, and he knows that is true. See, that's what's awesome here, that God reveals something that we can't know, but God knows, and he reveals it. Now was his chance, as he viewed it, to again wreak total devastation upon the church, as he had during the apostasy. But Satan did not know what God had been molding and creating in a highly accelerated manner during the 1260 days of witness that had just ended. Those days were also evidence in witness to God's incredible creative wisdom to more powerfully and more quickly than ever transform his people in greater character, oneness, and spiritual maturing faith. To me, that is so awesomely beautiful. It goes beyond words. It's a matter of what God gives to see. The church was not weak as it was before the apostasy. As the day of the Lord drew on, God's people were growing even stronger. I didn't grasp what we were going through, and we looked at it, but we looked at it in a different light, thinking, well, it's going to be Pentecost 2013. That wasn't what this was about, because we didn't know. God didn't reveal it yet. He didn't reveal some of this until this point here when it was written. No. We keep moving forward, and God will fill in the pieces. He'll inspire what needs to be said, and he'll give us understanding as time goes along. That's how he's always worked. Then God challenged Satan about his people. Think what he did with Job. And that wasn't the only time that it happened in time, okay? It's just not recorded. But this here is also another occasion. Then God challenged Satan about his people, just like what had happened to Job. Satan and his demon army were going to be released with great freedom, given to them to torment God's people for 5 full months in an effort to turn them against God, just as Satan attempted to do to Job. This challenge came about by design because it was part of a beginning fulfillment, yet strictly a spiritual one, of only the fifth trumpet as a type. So what is written there, sometimes we have some difficulty with the first trumpet and the fifth, or we can have. Hopefully we're not having as much. But certain things that are happening or have happened and are happening right now concerning the first trumpet, but not the full-fledged force of it, because that part is an economic one that brings about the final thing that takes place during the first trumpet, the final manifestation of what's going to come. And the fifth, that's been in two parts. The fifth trumpet, a part of that's already occurred. We live through it because it was on a spiritual plane. And so we read through certain things and we learn. Because we don't know it all. We don't know this yet fully. This challenge came about by design because it was part of a beginning fulfillment, yet strictly a spiritual one, of only the fifth trumpet as a type of the actual physical fulfillment that will be made manifest after the fourth trumpet. But again, Satan experienced a spiritual punishment from this encounter. You think about when it speaks about the torment, up here in thinking. When they see things, when they come to a point of seeing what God is doing and what God has done that they so hate that it just torments them more. That's where their torment comes from, because they can't have their way and they're losing more power. More is being taken away from them. It's incredible to grasp the time period we're in, because it's coming to a conclusion before long when Jesus Christ finally puts an end to it all. And he's put away for 1,100 years. So again, Satan experienced a spiritual punishment from this encounter, as this was part of the beginning of his punishment of God's avenging his church. What has been God been doing for so long? And it is about this very thing that is a matter of Scripture, and about God's vengeance and what he is going to do. And it's for his people, for his kingdom, for basically first and foremost about the 144,000, to bring about his creation. That's what has been contested for so long by that spirit world. That's what they have resisted for so long. That's what they have hated for so long. And now God is almost there. Awesome what some of these scriptures are all about. But again, Satan experienced a spiritual punishment with this encounter, as this was part of the beginning. It's a snake in the dirt. He's having to eat dirt. That's what it's about. It's on a spiritual plane. He doesn't like eating dirt. We're made from the dirt of the earth, the dust of the earth. And it's about what Satan has to eat that he hates to eat. And so God puts it in physical terms for us to begin to grasp something that's stated on a spiritual plane. Satan's a miserable being, very unhappy. So again, Satan experienced a spiritual punishment with this encounter, as this was part of the beginning of his punishment and of God's avenging his church with a just vengeance upon Satan. This punishment upon Satan and the demons was a kind of mental punishment and torment of their spirit. The torment they desired to inflict was indeed inflicted upon them. God was being magnified in glory and what he was creating in his family. And this is the statement. In the controversy of Zion, this is what it's about. The controversy of Zion should be so clear to us what it's all about. That's what God has been working at for 6,000 years. That which they have not wanted to see come to pass, that which they have been fighting against, that which they loathe, and yet they see one being who is already there, Jesus Christ, for the past 2,000 years, the first of the first fruits, as he's called. Had his beginning in physical life, had his beginning, period, in physical life at that time, has not eternally existed, as so many teach in this world. He had a beginning. Incredible. The first into the family. And so Satan has already seen that and been tormented by that. And now God's letting him know, look at what's sealed. Look at what's done. 144,000 are just about to be made manifest. And you are being put away. He's almost there. That's torment. Things we can't comprehend and grasp. A being that's been in existence for perhaps trillions of years, we don't understand. But he's coming down to his end. Thank God. Over the controversy of Zion, all about God's family, what he is capable of creating, what he said he would create, and he's bringing it to pass. And we're part of it. Awesome. And those who aren't a part of it right away, as soon as Jesus Christ returns, have that opportunity, as soon as 1,000 years are over, to be there, to join with the rest. Incredible. This was covered in a post previous to writing this article, but we need to understand that the church has been made to stand. Even while I was going through some of that, I didn't grasp all that. I didn't grasp the full depth of what that was about when we went through some sermons and went through some writing, or some posts, I guess, writing on this about being made to stand. How incredible this was and how it all fit in. God's church has been made to stand in an awesomely strong spiritual manner of faith, steadfastness, and character. The attack from Satan and the demons have always been upon God's people, but not in the kind of widespread manner and constant barrage as was experienced during those 5 months. 1969, I was called into God's church. Philadelphia era. It ended in 1986 when Mr. Armstrong died. I look back at that time period and I think about, though we went through different ripples and different things that happened and different ones were cleaned out of the church, different ministers and so forth were cleansed and different members in different times when there are different rumblings that occurred, nothing to the degree of what was coming in the apostasy. But all that time, as I look back at it now, was pleasant, easy, smooth, compared to what we have lived through in recent years. It really was. Sometimes we're people who are never touched by some of the kinds of things that happen in a major way. They were worked with, molded in fashion, went through various things in their own lives, but never were hit by something in a major way as far as the church was concerned, until the apostasy. But again, not during Philadelphia. God didn't let it happen during that period of time. It wasn't intended to happen during that period of time. So again, I think of that period of time, and though there were conflicts at times and things that happened, it was a time of relative peace in comparison to some of the things we've gone through. And that's good. And people were molded in fashion, and there are those who are going to be in God's kingdom who lived through that time and died, you know, that are going to be a part of the 144,000. Sometimes it's hard to grasp what we experience, and it has been extraordinary. I don't know if we marvel at that, how deeply we marvel. Every one of us should deeply marvel at what we've been blessed to experience. It's been hard, but look what it's done in such a short time. Not a bit of it would I exchange for anything else, for what it's developed in me, let alone in you, those who have yielded to that process and those things that we've all gone through together. Things that at other times, if it happened, people couldn't have survived. Couldn't have survived. Certainly there are a lot of lingering after effects and other sporadic attacks that will still occur. But we have been made to stand. God's church can't be destroyed. There is that which is sealed that is absolute no matter what. Plus others. And I hope it's a large number, as we are now. But it won't be. There'll be less, because there's a cleansing still going on, and it'll continue on. And I'm hoping before long that there'll be others who begin to see and are able to be brought along to share in this at the end, which there will be. But as to how much we might have opportunity to have fellowship with them, I don't know yet. God hasn't revealed that. We'll know it if it happens, most certainly. So there are a lot of lingering after effects and other sporadic attacks that will still occur. But we have been made to stand fast. The overwhelming majority of the body that has continued on has been positively and honorably defined. We indeed experienced a profound and extraordinary 4.5 years. And as time goes forward, we will learn that this is true even far more deeply than we can begin to grasp now. So when you read this back in 2013, you didn't see what you are able to see now in the series that we've gone through. What is left? My wife, Laura, was here today, and we discussed various church matters as we always do. I shared with her the contents. Now you realize where I was at that point. Anyway, I shared with her the contents of this portion of this article. I'm going to tell you some of what I told her. I explained how this is one of the most exciting things I've ever written, and that what God is revealing is so incredible, as it explains so much more of what God has been doing over these past several years. Awesome. When certain things happen in your life and you are so moved by them because God gives you the ability to see what it was all about in the first place. Then I shared with her about how I am so encouraged and inspired by all this, knowing I am John's counterpart as both an apostle and a prophet. But even more than that, we share, as only it should be, the experience of being imprisoned by our government. Yet while in prison, God gave great revelations to John to record. It is here in prison that God has given me some of the greatest understanding yet about the process of the manifestation of those revelations. I am truly thankful to share such an experience with John, one that will be recorded with him. So what is left? Now we are at the time when God will conclude, according to His perfect timing, the execution of all judgment that has now been righteously established. God will have His day, the final day of the Lord. And we still didn't know what that was at this point in time. Knew it was coming, knew it was prophetic, knew it was still to take place at the very end. By this time, the physical manifestation of the first six trumpets, as well as highly increased thunders, will have come to pass, and the final trumpet will become fulfilled in the 50 days that follow. There is another exciting verse in Daniel that has now been revealed more fully for what it is actually saying about the timing of all these events. The setting is one where Daniel asks one of the angelic beings a question about all that God had revealed to him, especially in the later chapters, about events leading to the coming of the Messiah in God's kingdom and the end of man's age. He simply asked, "How long to the end of these matters?" It's Daniel 12, verse 6. This is then followed by an astounding reply. Verse 7, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and declared an oath from him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half a time, and that when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." The timing concerning the end of these matters is answered by first stating that there will be a period of time, times and a half a time, which we now know fell within the 1260 days of witness as a period that involves God's merciful judgment. The next to follow is what is described as a time when the scattering of the power of the holy people will be accomplished, meaning finished. What we had believed as our present truth of such an expression was that the scattering related to some phase about the physical scattering of God's people after the apostasy until the period of time, times and a half a time, but it is not. It is about an event that follows the 1260 days of witness. Who are the holy people at that time? We know that they can only be referred to as holy because God is dwelling in them. These holy people are His church. This word scatter is like the example of pottery being dashed on the floor and scattered, dashed into pieces. The word power has very broad application and can fit into the expression in several ways. What power was dashed in God's people after the 1260 days? Certainly hopes were dashed, especially the hopes of Christ's return. But in all this, why would God allow His power in us to be dashed and scattered from us? It wasn't, but our own power was. It's about God's power. Again, this controversy of Zion and what He has brought about as far as 144,000 and what He's doing at the end in the final phase of those, as well as those who have opportunity to live on, but more so specifically what's happened within the church of those being prepared for Christ's return in the resurrection. The truth and reality is that during this period, which was the day of the Lord, upon God's church, we were made much, much stronger with far greater spiritual power. It was our own power, the power of self. That's an incredible, that should give excitement and encouragement to realize what you have gone through, what you have experienced in your life, to still be around. Because I've seen a lot of people go by the wayside because something became a stumbling block. At various times, things happen. Women becoming ordained became a stumbling block to some in the ministry. No longer with us. Can't go on. Can't continue on. Incredible the things that happen through time that sometimes test people and try people because they didn't have this. They didn't have this life, this strength, this power that comes from God Almighty, that faith to be lived by, to understand how they'd learned all the truths they'd learned at that moment in time anyway. It was our own power, the power of self, that Satan saw and sought to use to destroy us. Such power from self comes in the form of self-reliance. See, this is still true to this day to some who are letting up. Self-reliance. Our own thoughts of how we're going to do various things and accomplish various things, and God's not in the picture like He should be, and God's purpose and God's plan and God's church is not in the picture as it should be. Such power from self comes in the form of self-reliance, pride, vanity, the use of intellect in determining how we see things, human judgment. Those are just the stumbling blocks of human life that work against God's truth and God's church. Always have. People have gone by the wayside through time. It's just like a big flash here. I think of all the ministers at different times of things happening with Mr. Armstrong's time and a certain doctrine, something came along and that became their stumbling block, and no longer would they follow because they themselves had determined something else, that God is working in some other way, and they forgot everything else, how they learned everything that they did, how God was working, where God was working. Pride, self-reliance, vanity, the use of intellect in determining how we see things, human judgment, and so forth. Satan attacked us by striving to use self, selfish human nature, always the way he's worked, against us in a similar manner as he tried to appeal to Christ when he was fasting, if you remember the occasion, just before he began his ministry. But in attacking us in such a manner, we were actually made stronger as a result of the work God was doing in us during the time of witness. God had prepared us for this incredible event to make a stand. So everything we've gone through before 2008, but especially after 2008 on, every experience that we've had in God's church, every time you've had to make decisions and choices about what you're going to do and what you're going to hold on to, and those who have gone by the wayside, what they're not going to hold on to anymore. But in attacking us in such a manner, we were actually made stronger as a result of the work God was doing in us during the time of witness. God had prepared us for this incredible event to make us to stand. This expression in Daniel is not about a negative thing that happened to the holy people, but an incredibly positive one. And those first and foremost whom God was making certain to stand were those final ones chosen during the 1,335 days. As a result of God working with us over that 3.5-year period of final witness, and then our experiencing of going into that prophetic day that led up to a 5-month assault from Satan and the demonic world, we live what God told Daniel in that oath, God's promise, about being scattered or shattered in power. What an awesome thing to understand. That it was, you know, and I think of that, even reading that, and how Satan would have looked upon that because of what we saw at that point in time as well, not understanding, no, this is not a negative thing. This is not something that's going to take place, that God's people are going to be scattered and shattered. Not even logical. But to understand exactly what it was all about because of the timing of when it fit in, he's probably looking forward to that, obviously, in his understanding of what he had at that point in time until God has revealed here what it actually meant. Because it wasn't known before this what it actually meant. What an awesome thing to understand that it was, and some things are not revealed until a certain amount of time because what he is specifically doing with the spirit world. It's about us, but it's also about bringing him to an end and things that have to be accomplished and fulfilled. The things we can't even begin to grasp right now. I can't imagine, we can't imagine the universe anyway being created, but to comprehend how God is working with the world right now, of manifesting various things in the world right now, to give greater potential for people that when they do have their hearing sharpened up a little bit, that they're going to have greater potential to repent if they will start listening to what God is saying. Awesome. And to realize the timing in which God is working on all that. What an awesome thing to understand that it was our own selfish power that was being shattered so that God could live more fully in us in His power. It was in God's power. So you made decisions. You have made decisions all along the way. Every time that something happened in God's church, and especially in this period of time, you had to make choices and decisions. And especially you think about the world and family members and others who were perhaps harping at you about what you were doing. And what are you listening to? You're following that. You're giving money to that. You know, incredible. And so people had to make decisions. Now, some didn't fare so well in that. Some few who already had certain things happening to them after 2008 anyway. But choices. And every time you made a choice about God's truth and become more deeply grounded in it, God has made you stronger. That's why I talk about every time you repent of any sin, you're growing in character. Because you're acknowledging God is right, you are wrong, you need to change. I need to change. We need to change. That's what has to change, but we have to yield ourselves to the process. And every time we make those kinds of decisions, it's an awesome thing to understand the power of God's Holy Spirit in us that helps to create and transform and give us greater character of mind, strength, and power that no one can take away from you as long as you continue to hold fast to what He's given, to love it. Keep wanting to get in the next sermon. It was in God's power, living more fully within us, that gave us the power over Satan's attacks. This scripture is so meaningful. For greater is He who is in you, speaking of God Almighty, and the power that comes through Jesus Christ into our lives, than he, Satan, who is in the world, quoting 1 John 4:4. Then the last thing God promised by His oath through the pronouncement made by His angel was that then, after all this, that all things would be finished. I marvel at the timing of this sermon series. I marvel at the time that God is giving us a better insight and an ability to focus on something before our next step. Things are heating up once again in the world. And this is our opportunity to be prepared. This is our opportunity to fight for this, to yield to what we need to yield to seek God's help to grow, to conquer, to overcome because of what's been molded and fashioned in us up to this point in time. And for those who are slipping and sliding and pulling back into the world, to get sobered back into reality of life, to have opportunity to be a part of this to the end. To fight for it. You've got to fight, and fight takes work. It doesn't just mysteriously, magically happen. You've got to think about it. You've got to plan it out. You've got to think about your day and what you do and how you do it. So again, then the last thing God promised by an oath through the pronouncement made by His angel was that then, after all this, then all things would be finished. All that is left is actually where this promise comes into play. It can only be for a specific moment in time. Now is that time. It is the time of God's promise that He will fulfill. Again, the timing of the sermon series. Again, the timing of the series that's coming next. What's happening in the world around you? Do you know what's going on out there? You need to keep abreast of some things that are taking place in these countries that we haven't seen in a lot of years that are happening again, stirred up again. Say, we saw things moving in a certain direction at a point in time in 2006 and 2007 up to 2008, and then some of the things that happened with the economy. We're headed there again. Some of the ripples have already started. There isn't absolute confidence that everything is going to be peachy keen, hunky dory, and this stock market's always going to climb. It may get a flashback here and climb again as people get greedy because that's what they do. They try to make money as it's going down, and there are going to be those who are going to try to get it back up again, and they're going to do their best. But the underpinnings of it all, worse than ever before. Worse than ever before. And it's not going to take a lot. And you see, it's important to watch that one because that's where it begins. That's what motivates everything else that follows. That's why everyone does what they do later on. It's all because of what's going to happen economically in this world. That's the first trumpet, the starting of it, that we have been experiencing for some time now after it all began back in 2008. See, it's still there, and the rumblings are still there, and they are powerful right now if you hear them, okay? And they're getting far more powerful right at a time when we're starting to boost the new book in Google and things that we're working with right now. Absolutely perfectly in timing. And the more that goes forward, we're going to be ready. It's coming, brother. It's coming again, powerfully. Hope we have ears to hear. All that is left is exactly where this promise comes into play. It can only be for a very specific moment in time. Now is that time. It is the time of God's promise that He will fulfill. It is the time that is now before us. Of all that remains, that is a matter of exercising the judgment upon this world that was set after that 1260 days. That which is to be finished is the physical manifestation of the trumpets of Revelation. And remember, God inspires things when they're given and the timing of when they're given and so forth. And what we're going through and what we built up to right here is very powerful, truly is. And what's coming after this is very powerful indeed, where we are in time. Say, I'm not 100% confident we'll be at the Feast of Tabernacles this year. I hope that we'll have that opportunity. I pray that we'll have that opportunity. But that's how close everything is, can be, at any moment in time. So is this a time to fight for this way of life, to be faithful to God, to love God, to want to draw closer to God and to His people? See? Drawing closer to God, we can deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I do this and I do that and I go to services. But He is manifest in His people. His lives live within us. And how we think toward the body of Christ, how we think toward the church, and we're getting close to the Passover, and how we think toward the body of Christ has everything to do with our true relationship to God Almighty. That ought to sober us to the core of our being. Say, do you love God's people? What do you do towards God's people? What opportunities do you take advantage of with God's people? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is your time to fight for God, for God's way of life, for God's church. And I lost my place again. I can't believe this. Well, I know you're used to it, but now you believe it. What was it? What paragraph?
The very last paragraph. That's the
only one. I'm in the last sentence already? Wow. Well, that fit into place. I was looking on the next page, and I thought, oh, it is done. Then I was looking on here, where am I? Anyway, awesome how this article ends. It's about the physical manifestation of the trumpets of Revelation. How close are we? How close are we? That first trumpet. Next series. God's time is before us. The final day of the eternal is God's promise. His promises are true.